Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Peter!
Oh, baby!
Hey, like welcome apples. Back, welcome back. Look, it's January, mate, January.
January. Woo! Are you ready?
I don't know.
Are you ready for it?
I don't know.
Oh,
we're recording this in December, just before Christmas, in fact, because we are professionals. And
we are front-loading.
I know there's a lot of wrestling podcasts that I like follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or people that we follow
them,
will
follow
like, I don't listen to them. I tried
very hard. Yeah.
And I notice a lot of them will often have things going, sorry, guys, bit of a problem. You know, Maury couldn't get in.
No excuses. With modern recording techniques, we had to miss 1 week in 3 years.
Yep, 1 week in 3 years.
And we recorded. We managed to release.
Exactly.
I mean, that said, the audio quality on Mark's laptop was surprisingly good.
Yeah, they're a bit of a surprise, that.
Yeah.
Because every time I've done it, it's been crap. It's really been a surprise.
Maybe I'm a master producer, Mark.
I think you might be. Look, the important thing is,
You're
all there. We're here.
Yes.
We don't want to be talking about other people's wrestling podcasts. Why would we?
I don't even know anymore. All the ones have died.
Can I think of any? No.
I'm going to type in wrestling podcast. Wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm going to see which one comes up first and Google.
Do you know
wrestling podcast, first one. OSW review. Something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. We watched a bit of that.
Yeah.
Holy hell, that was long.
That was
just like, what is this?
There is a slight thing about it. Sometimes I do have that thing where you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, why do people listen to wrestling? It's just like talking. And you sometimes come out with your notes and you're just a bit like, who cares?
When I've got the notes, because I don't edit anything else, sometimes there'll be something offensive in it and I'll write it down and then I'll forget about the notes. And then about a month later, I'll go,
I
wrote something Japanese Scouser. I've no idea what that is, what show it was in, or what I was supposed to edit out. So I'll apologise now. I presume it's the Yokohama match.
It could not be a more offensive combination, because you sort of go, whatever it is, it just sounds like, if you're neither of those, then you're doing something bad, aren't you? You're doing something really bad. OSW, I believe, are actually really nice guys.
Right, okay.
I think that is as much as I'm willing to concede.
What culture wrestling? They're nice. They're
yeah,
nice
employees, they are. The guys are all nice. I haven't got around to listening to any.
Why does every time Jim Cornette puts any pictures of himself out on podcast artwork, he always tries to make himself look like, he's like a spoken word poet, used to be in a band called TV, he used to do a song called TV Party. Ooh.
Mark my words.
TV Party song. It was the band Black Flag.
Oh, Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins. He sort of makes himself look a bit like Henry Rollins. He doesn't look like Henry Rollins, but he's trying to.
He looks like a big nerd. he's got that lucky thing, which is, I say lucky, he's well odd. He's got a thing of living in America. And if you live in America, what you get is you get a huge garage. And there tends to be like a sort of like a room above it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. That goes the whole length of it. It's, you know, garage music, what we call sort of like 60s garage music. And that exciting sort of punk, you know, untrained stuff like Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. It's called garage music because in America they have garages that you don't need to put your cars in. They're big enough and you can like band rehearse in
there. I watch a show that's all about it. I've spoken about this. All the two twins that help people move out of their old house, do their old house up so that they sell for more, and then they find a new house as well. And the like for 250 grand in some cities.
Yeah.
In decent neighborhoods, you can buy a two-car garage house. It's incredible.
I think about that's why also America is like leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room to dismantle.
to dismember.
To make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
If I ran around with a man's head, me fucking a man's head, if I ran around with an erection straight through the eye socket of a skull, I would knock into things. Blood everywhere.
But there's always some fucking nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
I saw you with your skull.
I saw you in your skull.
You're next, sunshine.
Oh, that's Goldberg. Next, that Goldberg. You do a wrestling podcast, don't you? What's it about?
I don't think WrestleMania is actually listed as. It was like Bernie.
They bum each other.
Very niche reference there.
Yeah.
I don't think WrestleMania is actually listed on any podcast any forums as a wrestling podcast.
Okay.
I think it's sort of just
because of the things we've done.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we ever sort of said it was wrestling.
No, it's because we don't review
We invented a genre. Yeah. We invented a genre of many podcasts that seem to have been going longer than us. but somehow we invented it. And iTunes had to bow to the pressure. talking of wrestling.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Cool.
We're going to be looking at the AEW Stadium Stampede.
Mark, I love this.
Wasn't it brilliant?
Can we do all of the wrestling?
This is great. This is from Double or Nothing, AEW's second pay-per-view, which took place in May 2020. Very much early days of the big lockdowns and shutdowns and stadiums being shut across America because of the pandemic.
Mm.
And what's really unusual about this is a reaction to a pandemic that actually, rather than they'd been backed into a corner.
Yeah.
You know, how do we deliver wrestling in the no fan era? And what they did here was that being backed into a corner ended up with them creating something that was much better than they could have done had the pandemic not come
along.
They
found like a new playground that they couldn't have done otherwise.
Completely. Worth saying.
If that thing about crowds and stuff, it would have been a different show.
It's completely. They would never have done this match. Mm. There would no way. Apart from anything else, the stadium it takes place in would have been busy. Mm. They're not going to say, yes, you know, you can. The reason, you know, it happens in AEW as well is the owner of AEW, Tony Khan, is the son of, what's his name, Shad Khan?
I think so.
Who is the owner of Fulham Football Club. He also owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is the stadium here where the Jacksonville Jaguars play in Florida. And so he had access to a stadium.
Mm.
And unlike most things where you're going, it's middle of COVID, and you went, can we borrow your stadium? They'd be like, no fucking way. No.
I mean, COVID.
Everyone got COVID. Don't want COVID on my stuff. he was like, Dad, can I? And he's like, yes, you can.
Mm.
So they get this. Worth saying, I mean, this is not by a long chalk, if you like, the first cinematic match. We saw in WrestleMania 36, they had the Boneyard match for The Undertaker. And they had the match that sort of took place inside John Cena's mind between him and Bray Wyatt.
What was that?
Oh, till we get to it.
Oh,
wait till
no.
I reckon that is going to be at least two shows in itself. Just that. Going through the recesses of John Cena's mind. that was where I really felt they let itself down. There had been this sort of thing of cinematic matches is what they've been termed.
Mm.
They WWE had done them successfully. AEW had looked at them and said, okay, well, how can we do it?
Right.
And worth just quickly, history of cinematic matches. They own largely the product of one man, and that was Matt Hardy.
Right.
So when he was in TNA in 2016, he was feuding with his brother, and he started doing lots of vignettes from his own house. And this led to pretty much a show-long thing where he would be in his house. He introduced his drone called, I think, Vanguard One, his father-in-law, who was the Spanish gardener, Senor Benjamin. And they just used the whole family in this big sort of thing. And that was known as the final deletion. And they had a match between Jeff, who at that time was called Brother Nero, because that Matt Hardy was in this weird character where delete.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Nero. And it was all done from his house, from his compound.
Yeah.
And it was very much a sort of campy, but oddly successful piece. It was so stupid and charming and shoestring that they did it a few more times. And all of them were quite well regarded. it was always sort of at the time before the pandemic, people were like, this is money saving. You know, right. They don't. You know, they're getting an hour of TV here, which is essentially a home movie in someone's house.
Yeah.
You know, and they get all the people to turn up, and it's all silly, and it's a bit of a novelty.
Yeah.
And but people sort of quite liked them. But there was a danger, I think, people were thinking these are going to happen all the time. The pandemic made that more likely, and indeed, over the pandemic, WWE have put on some awful fucking cinematic matches. The ones at WrestleMania, the first two, everyone went, those were quite good. And so after that, they were like, oh, we can do this in our sleep.
Yeah.
And they really cannot. AEW went a slightly different way, where they went, well, we need to pre-record it. It needs to be this sort of cinematic thing. And so they decided to... It's just a really clever way of doing it. What they did was they went, let's have an absolutely chaotic match. But because it's not going live, we can actually set it up in stages, we can edit it properly, and we can tell different stories throughout, and it's not going to get too messy. And it lasts for half an hour, this match. And it is a match against all odds. This thing of 10 men taking part in a Falls Count Anywhere match in a stadium that involves a horse.
Now,
they still managed to make it all throughout a coherent wrestling match. And that is just amazing.
Sometimes we watch wrestling matches, certainly like WCW, they couldn't do that when they were having a wrestling match.
No. All of this is perfect. The other thing they had, of course, is they had, unlike WWE, where it's one person saying, this is what you're going to do, and writers saying, this is what the man wants us to do, and the wrestlers finding out about it, and having to act. Here, they're going, we aren't going to make you act. What we're going to do is put you in scenarios. Yeah. So, for example, go around the stadium. What can we use? And the five wrestlers on each side, who have got unbelievable amounts of experience, at main event level, a lot of them, have gone round and gone, you're going to have to do a moonsault off that.
Yeah.
They've gone round and gone, there's a pool here. Do you know what we should do? Right? They've walked around. There's a bar here. God, oh my God. You've got to throw him down the bar.
Yeah.
If we come in here and we don't throw him down the length of the bar, like in a cowboy film, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And they've gone through and they have mapped it out so well that every single part of it has been planned by people who know what they can do in the ring. They play to their own strengths. There's a bit I love right at the end. So this is a match between, I probably should set that up in some way. It's a match between the Inner Circle, who are a faction, headed up by Chris Jericho, with Jake Hager, the tag team Proud and Powerful, formerly LAX, Santana and Ortiz, and Sammy Guevara, the Spanish God. Sammy Guevara, one of my favorite wrestlers currently at the minute. He's got a great arrogance, also shitty heel. It's the Miz done well,
right?
Basically, he's also got a beautiful face like a lady. Really lovely. And they're taking on the Elite, who are Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Hangman Adam Page, and an honorary member of the Elite for the night, Matt Hardy, the man who came up with the cinematic concept, who was also feuding with Sammy Guevara at the
time.
He's
broken though, Mark.
He is broken.
Matt Hardy. Why is he broken?
He's broken because he basically, he had a character where his mind had snapped.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And so he became very mad, and that was broken Matt Hardy. And when he went to WWE, they let him in Woken Matt Hardy. So they could use the gimmick again.
Oh,
but he's back here now, and he's just Matt Hardy. I mean, this is a good example about how Matt Hardy, whenever they bring him back to WWE, and this has happened really from about 2003 onwards, whenever they bring him back, they're like, we know he's a big star. He went out to Ring of Honor. He became big. We've brought him back. We don't know what to do with him. Yeah. Just let him slip down the card. He goes away. Ring of Honor. Bring him back at WrestleMania because he's a big star again. Yeah. Bring him back, goes down again.
Yeah.
They get rid of him. And they must have this time have thought, I think it's finally over. I think it's finally over now. We can get rid of him. They get rid of him and he's back in AEW. He's sort of in semi-main events all the time. They just cannot handle him.
Looking like a member of like Rent-A-Ghost.
Oh, he does. So. He does. He looks mad. The maddest thing is, it's not his hair or his costume or anything. He's had really bad fake teeth put in. He's had veneers put over. At one point when it's quite exciting, there's a silly bit, which in any other scenario would have been crap, and it's the bit in the swimming pool. And a powerful, I'd never get that name right, I'm going to call them LAX, it's easier.
Right.
LAX are pushing Matt Hardy under the water, and he pops back up, and he's dressed as the Hardy Boys extreme Matt Hardy. And they just sort of go, wah, like that. And they put him back under, and he pops up, and he comes up as Matt Hardy version 2, which is 2003 gimmick. And they have a stat appears on the screen. It's an old WWE thing that used to happen. And so it's just like he's going through his gimmicks as he's in the thing. Like they're killing him, and he's reincarnating.
It's
right?
good.
It is good. It should good. Be shit. It should yeah. be shit. And it is good. And he comes out the third time, and he's now broken Matt Hardy. I've been in the pool of reincarnation. Matt Hardy's whole thing as well is mad because he came up with this voice that has no meaning. It has. It's not like you sort of go, oh, he's pretending to be. Oh, he's a Hungarian vampire, you know. So he lives. He just. It's just got this bizarre sort of, you know, we delete in the morning, you know, just madness, absolute madness. I love it. Again, shouldn't work, did work.
Yeah.
They put him in there anyway. He comes out of the pool for the last time. Delete, delete, delete. And so I think Excalibur, who's on the commentary, just goes, it's a pool of reincarnation. He's, you know, getting second life. Jim Ross goes, there's second life in those teeth. What a shithead.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
A special moment, Matt Hardy watching that bet going, it really works. And then yeah. Jim Ross is going, tell you one thing about him, his teeth make him look a cunt. Oh, but this match is everything. It's ridiculous and stupid, but it's also really good and thrilling. It makes so much sense. It's just really, really good. They mention in it, you know, they've got 18 cameras out there, and they've cut it together and edited it in a way that it's just flawless. I mean, it really is flawless because they've obviously had a chance to do post-production on it. But it's so good. Everyone plays their part so well. There's so many elements to it that are funny. There's a bit just where Jericho picks up a traffic cone and he puts it and he goes, like, oh, I am a witch. I mean, just, you know, any other wrestling match, you'd be like, well, that took me out of it.
Yeah.
And this one is, I mean, just stuff, you know, like Hangman Page on his horse. And...
Yeah. So it's all sort of like really exciting. And everyone's like dressed in football gear. You know, yeah. Oh, this is fucking crazy. This is wild. You know, Kenny Omega turns up and he's like got little cupping circles because he's been doing his cupping. And then just Hangman Page does it with a horse.
I know.
He's quite good at riding.
He is. There are so many bits. There's loads of sort of throwbacks to, you know, stuff that happened recently at that time. So there'd been Sammy Guevara had been famously hit by a sort of golf cart driven by Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega. He'd taken an amazing bump. Mm. And so they got obsessed with the idea that Sammy Guevara was always running from things that were trying to run him down. And they do that with the horse. Right. And you later see the golf course cart comes in. There's a point where Sammy Guevara has been knocked out and they turn on a sprinkler and the sprinkler goes right into his groin. Must be really hurt. And he really sort of like doesn't sell it. And he gets up and he's like, oh, I've woken up. And he can't see anyone around. Everyone else has been laid out. And he just goes, oh, I'm the winner. I'm the winner. I've won. And then they just have a shot of him looking and it cuts to that golf cart appearing at the end of the thing. And he just begins running again. I love those sort of those bits that reward you. And I think, you know, if you came to this cold, there'd be lots of it that you're like, I don't really understand why they did that.
But when you
do sort of watch wrestling, you know, throughout, this is the culmination of all those bits. They're throwing you Easter eggs constantly.
Yeah.
And it just, oh, it just
it's very
nice. Works.
It's like the Simpsons episode. It's like Who Killed Mr. Burns, where it's this event episode that you kind of need to know why this is bad and why he's evil and you know, all that stuff. So
yeah. This, I mean, the actual, it's just, it is a spectacular.
It's great.
It's so, so well worked out. Mm. I remember reading about this and just thinking this is going to be another one of those awful cinematic matches. It's just, it's going to be full of silly things and stuff that doesn't make sense. Mm. And what they do is they just use the environment so well. I would say there has never been a better, you know, using an arena match that's ever happened than this. It's so well thought out.
I mean, just the fact that they've even got a swimming pool to play with. So some people are allowed, so I guess the really posh seats, or maybe you win your way in or something.
It's for plutocrats and their teenage girlfriends to sit in, you know.
Sit in a pool.
Yeah, so they can have a cigar and, you know, the other hand's under the water, isn't it? Foul, revolting men who I've just invented. Don't know why I'm angry with them. Let that go. Jim Ross is an asset here as well because he is that voice of wrestling history and past. Mm. And what you're doing here, you've got, you know, 10 men who are, you know, young and hungry and in the prime of their careers, taking part in, you know, a match we've never seen before for a relatively new organization. And you have Jim Ross there, which is sort of essentially saying, don't be scared, you know, come out. This is wrestling. Mm. This is wrestling. You don't have to worry about it. And they do fucking wrestle. The end part where Kenny Omega puts Sammy Guevara up for a one-winged angel and then just jumps 15 feet off onto a thing. All of that is great, but it's less impressive than Sammy Guevara's parkour, which he does all up the stadium to get up there. I mean, it's just, he's so like a little sort of, like a spider monkey, like a cabbage monkey with a lady's face. The dream.
Like Matt Jackson jumping off a football, I don't know what you call those, football posts?
Goalposts, they call them.
Goalposts. Just, wow.
He does his moonsault off.
It's very high.
There's just a little bit that I really liked where it was something to do with holding up yellow cards. Jericho shouting at the ref, you're a shitty ref as well. Sort of like that. There's, you know, oh, it's Matt Jackson. He's done suplexes and this is run throughout. So you cut between the different sort of story elements of it. And in the meantime, Matt Jackson has been doing suplexes on Sammy Guevara all the way up the thing. And he's, by the time you see it, you know, it goes on for a few minutes, you know, you come out and go in again. And he's suddenly on the touchline. And so they're sort of going, he has travelled 100 yards doing suplexes. He gets the thing. He finally gets him onto the touchdown sort of area. He begins celebrating. The ref gives him a yellow card for celebrating, which is unsportsmanlike. And Matt Jackson just super kicks him. And it's just all that sort of stuff is just like going, you bothered to go. You should do suplexing all the way. And then you went, what happens when you get to the end zone? You go, I do a big celebration. And you go, you know what? The ref will give you a yellow card for that. And then you go, yep, a nice super kick. All that thing. it's a slight thing about, unless you've got a personal investment in this match, that level of detail is never going to happen. Mm. And so if you've got people telling you what to do and you don't have total freedom, and you do get the impression from this, you have total freedom. And what you have is 10 wrestlers who are all really, really good, who have all had loads of experience. They are getting together and going, what is the best thing that we can do in this environment? And they absolutely 100% hit it. Mm. Isn't it fun?
And the best thing about it, like Jim Ross, who throughout his career has wanted to talk about football. Now he's allowed to talk about football a little, but he barely does.
He barely does. It's absolutely good, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people have been asking us to do more about AEW. Mm. There are a couple of matches I did have sort of on the long list for WrestleMania. One of them would have been Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes. And I know you would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
But it was a more serious one. I just felt that, in a funny way, there will be people out there who haven't really got into AEW. You can just see it on ITV Player. Mm. They've got Dynamite on there. It goes back like 5 weeks and you can, you know, watch as much as you want. The pay-per-views are available here. You have to do them in slightly annoying ways of, you know, logging on and, you know, online and this and the other. But, I mean, AEW is really, really, really good. And I think it's actually putting out some of the best week-to-week wrestling in the world at the minute. Mm. And they're also having a very exciting storyline where they're beginning to basically amalgamate all of the independents into a great big cooperative. This is in real life. So Impact and AAA and possibly New Japan, hopefully, will be coming together to sort of talent trade and have running storylines. And
better
I think
websites?
Definitely the New Japan. And I think, you know, what's interesting there is if I was Vince McMahon, I would actually be, for the first time, slightly shitting myself. Mm. And they are showing there's a better way to work. They're showing that you don't have to go to Saudi Arabia, that you can keep on Twitch, you will get paid the same, and you will get total creative freedom.
Yeah.
None of that sounds like a bad thing. You know, it's, I mean, I don't want to, you know, creative freedom is fine, but to be honest, if the WWE said, will you come on, do Wrestle Me on the network, but never slag us off, Pete, we'd be on the network.
Oh, we'd be on the network right now. I'd insist on a spot every now and again. I'd insist on being a manager or something.
Yeah.
A valet.
A valet. Look, my point about this is, if you listen to this and you were like, that was interesting, I'd get into AEW. Mm. If you work for WWE and you've listened to it to check out the competition, then we are very much available. We are willing
for
to do
a
work.
Bid.
I will slag off the Stadium Stampede till the cows come fucking home the moment we've signed that deal.
Stupid,
don't you worry.
Stupid Stadium
Stampede.
Oh, God.
It was shaped like a sort of mouth, the stadium, and it was gross. And the men were all in the mouth.
Oh, wow. Well, that was our second WrestleMania. The idea of a stadium being a mouth.
Yeah, it's bad.
Honestly.
They are unclean.
We'll be back in a couple of days with more WrestleMania.
Oh.
WrestleMania.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.